But it is a very interesting topic, despite all the jokes you can make. Chatzi Shir. So Chatzi Shir, of course, is a very famous topic. But I want to talk about Chatzi Shir Shalom. I want to talk today about the inyan of Chatzi Shir by Mitzvah Saseh. By Mitzvah Saseh. If I have half a gazayas of matzah, is it worth eating it?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go play basketball. Let's go get breakfast. Should I eat it? Should I? No, it could be. It could be you just summed up the whole shiur regalachas. Maybe that's it. Is it worth eating half a gazayas of matzah? The answer is yes. It was like yesterday. Is Judaism a religion? Yes. In answer to that upcoming lecture, is Judaism a religion? The answer is yes. Okay, b'chatzi shiur. Chatzi shiur by Mitzvah Saseh. So we learned on Monday. Let's just remind ourselves. It's our last chance to learn together. Let's remind ourselves of the Chassam Sofer in Shalos and Chuvos and Choshen Mishpat and the Hashmatos Kuf Tzadivav, that the only mitzvah d'oraisa that a person has b'zman hazeh that involves achila is achilas matzah. Okay, so matzah is a big deal. We have to think about it. And if you have half a kezayis of matzah, you need to think about that also. Let's take it slow. In source number one, you have a pasuk. Again, we know this pasuk well. Parshas Bo, Berishon Barabas or Yom Lachodesh Be'erev Tochlu Matzos. There's a mitzvah d'araisa to eat matzah. And we discuss the Shita of the Vilna Gaon, maybe the Baal Maor, and others, whether that can be expanded beyond the night of Pesach, or even on the night of Pesach. When the Rambam says, when you eat a single kezayis, you're yotzei. Let's say I want to eat 10 kezayisim on Leil HaSeder. Do I get a mitzvah for each additional bite? We saw the Netziv in his Akdama, his Psicha, his Haggadah. We saw the Maharal in the Gvuras Hashem, Perak Mem Ches. But either way, everyone agrees that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah. But what's the definition of eating? What's the halachic definition of eating? How much eating is considered eating? So if you look in the Medrash HaHalacha, in various contexts throughout the Torah, where the Torah talks about eating, you find that Chazal, time and time again, define eating in a very specific way. For example, you go a few psukim earlier, in source number two, when it talks about Achilas Karban Pesach. Achilas Karban Pesach, the Torah writes, V'achlu es habasar b'layla zeh, sli eish, umatos al merorim yochlu, v'achlu es habasar. How much do you have to eat? Achlu es habasar. Yesterday we saw Rashi who asked the question when Rivka says to Yaakov, go get two gedia izim. How much food does Yitzchak eat? So how much does one need to eat in order to be mekayim this mitzvah of achluas habasar b'layla hazeh? Says the Mechilta. The Mechilta, of course, is the Medrash Halacha on Shemos. So Rashi quotes from very often. Now, just to be informed Jews, there's two Mechiltas. There's two editions of the Mechilta. There's the Mechilta Derbi Yishmael. And then there's the Mechilta de Rashbi, Mechilta Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Maybe you learned about those two Mechiltas in one of your Bible classes. Intro to Bible class would be a good place to come across such a thing. So at home, I have two editions of the Mechilta. I have Mechilta with the Parish of the Netziv, and I have Mechilta with the Parish of the Merkeves HaMishnah, and those are both commentaries on the Mechilta de Rabbi Shimon. But you should know there's also a version of Mechilta called Mechilta de Rashbi, Mechilta Rishon Bar Yochai. And the Mechilta de Rashbi, it says, what is the definition of Be'achlu? You should eat the Karban Pesach in achila pechusa mikazayis. The halachic definition of eating is a kazayis. Okay, so presumably the same thing is true by matzah. Going back to source number one, be'erev tochlu matzos. The pashas is, how much matzah do you need to eat? Kazayis. The definition of halachic eating is a kazayis. Where else in the Torah does it talk about eating? I'm going to show you that again in Medrash HaHalacha. This comes up time and again. For example, in Sefer Vayikra. Parshas Achrimos, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat nevela or trefa. What's a nevela? Yeah, what's a nevela?
An animal
that was not shechted, right? You shoot it with a gun. What's a trefa? An animal that has a proper shechita, perhaps, but you find that it has a terrible, you know, life-threatening illness. You find that there's a hole in its lung, etc. Many examples of what considers a trefa. A person is not allowed to eat a trefa. A person who eats nevela or trefa, our brains are trained to think, can I eat it, can I not eat it? Kosher or not kosher, in the way that we speak. But in the times of the Torah, in the times where Osek and Kachem Vitaros, it's more than that. There's a transmission of Tumah that comes from Achilas nevela. So says the Pasuk in Achrimos, V'chol nefesh, asher tochal nevela utrefa, v'ezrach uvager, The Torah focuses on the tumah aspect of it. In addition to, again, the problem of eating something not kosher, which is how our brains tend to think. Or how about in Parshas Emor? Parshas Emor in Parachav Beis, my bar mitzvah parsha, Parshas Emor. Anyone else? Parshas Emor, yeah? No. Parshas Emor, Parachav Beis, discusses Achilas Truma, eating the sacred Truma. Who can eat it? Which members of the Kohen family can eat it? Can his wife eat it? Can his children eat it? Can his slaves eat it? Achilas Truma. So the Torah writes in Parshas Emor, in source number 5, V'ish ki yochal kodesh bishkaka. What happens if a person who is not eligible to eat truma accidentally eats some truma? What does he have to do? It was an accident, bishkaka. V'yasav chamishiso alav. He adds a fifth to whatever he was going to give to the Kohen. This is a penalty. V'nasan l'kohen, that's a kodesh. And he gives the Kohen the kodesh. Rashi says he doesn't give him money. It's not a monetary fine. But if he was giving him X amount of produce, so now he adds on an additional fifth. So says Rashi, on the spot, what does Kodesh mean? V'ish ki yochal Kodesh, what are we actually talking about in this pasuk? So I told you, Rashi says we're talking about Truma. So if a person inadvertently, who's not eligible to eat Truma, eats Truma, he's penalized. What's the definition of eating? So if you look in the Sifra, if you look in Torah's Kohanim, both in Achrei Mos and again in Parshas Emor, again, in Achrei Mos when it talks about Tochal Nevela, right? And in Parshas Emor it talks about Ki Yochal Kodesh, which is a reference to eating Truma. Again, the Medrash Halacha tells us, Ein Achila Fechusa Mikazayis. The definition of eating is a Kazayis. So this is the standard. This is the standard when it comes to eating. And again, presumably the same thing is true by Matzah, the Erev Tochal Matzah. So we know, we saw in Shulchan Aruch earlier this week, in the Rambam, it's clear the Halacha is that the how much matzah do you need to eat to fulfill the obligation? You need to eat a kazayis. Yes.
Actually, this is their own deraisa.
What'd you say?
Actually, this is only deraisa.
What do you mean? This is only deraisa.
Meaning, and I feel like mostly kazayis. You can't just eat shurma if you're not eating
kazayis. Oh, good. So that's what we're heading to today. The topic of chatzishir. Right? When the Torah says you can't eat nevela, we define achilas nevela as a kazayis. Does that mean I can have a little nibble of nevela if I'm interested? And that's okay? And as long as I don't eat a kazayis, I'm totally fine? Now, no one's going to say you're totally fine. The question is, does the Torah say that I can't even eat less? Is there an iser min haTorah to eat even less than the amount which will get me to the penalty? Meaning there's a penalty that comes when you get to a certain point. Right? That's true when it comes to Achilat Yom Kippur, it comes to eating things that are prohibited to you. Once you reach, let's say, a kazayis, then it's labeled Achila, and we'll give a certain penalty for it. Maybe there'll be, we won't impose that fine or that penalty, whether it's bidei adam or bidei shemayim, until you reach a certain point. But that doesn't mean you can eat, right, less of that davar iser. So that brings us to the topic of chatzishir. There's a well-known sugya. I went on YU Torah to see how many shiurim there are in chatzishir. There's over 130, 140 shiurim on chatzishir. But I did not see that anyone had a shiur on chatzishir in Mitzvah Saseh. So even though there's a lot of shiurim on chatzishir, at least we can enter that discussion. We can enter that discussion, Chatzi Shir Bar Mitzvah Saseh. But let's start with Chatzi Shir when it comes to Yisurim, right? Let's talk about eating, like Josh said, taking a bite of Nevela. Or eating a little bit on Yom Kippur. Right? Now everyone's going to agree that you can't eat a bite of Nevela, or Trefa. And everyone's going to be, that even though the Shir on Yom Kippur is, what's the Shir for Achil on Yom Kippur? Kakosev Asagasa, like a plump date. Right? It's big. We don't go by kazayis, we go by because it's based on inoy. You have to afflict yourself. So how much you need to eat in order to get out of, right? So it's kakoseves hagasa, the size of a plump date. So everyone agrees you can't have a little bit to eat or drink on Yom Kippur. Right? Everyone agrees to that. The question is that a Torah restriction? I was zocha this last year to eat on Yom Kippur. I was zocha. But I was eating less than a shear and I was spacing it out. That's the ideal way to eat. If I would have been more sick, Baruch Hashem, I wasn't, but if I would have been, then I would have had to eat even more regularly. Why? Because v'chai bam, below shiyamas bam. You're not supposed to do dangerous things. And even something like Yom Kippur can get pushed aside. But everyone agrees, you can't, under normal circumstances, you can't go throughout Yom Kippur eating or drinking less than a shear and spacing it out. That's what we recommend for a chola, who unfortunately can't fast. Right? So this machlokas, this famous machlokas about chati shir asur min haTorah. Does the Torah say, again, the Torah says don't eat. And definition of eating is a kazayis. Does the same Torah impose upon me don't eat less than a kazayis? So where is the source of this famous discussion? It's a famous and well-known sugya in Yom HaDaf Ayin Dalet of HaDaf. Chati shir. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asur Min HaTorah. Reish Lakish Amar Mutter Min HaTorah. Mida Araisa Min HaTorah. Can I eat, or if I eat less than the required amount, right? Is that an Isser? Reish Lakish says, Min HaTorah, it's not. That doesn't mean he's going to recommend it. He just says the Torah gives you a shear. The Torah says, until you eat X amount, you're not in violation of the Torah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asur Min HaTorah. What's the Svara for Rabbi Yochanan? That it's Asur. Kaven Dechazi Litzdarufe Yisura Ka'achel. If I eat a little bit of Nevela, well, think about it. How am I going to get to a shear of Nevela? I'm going to eat a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. So in that sense, since it's Chazi Litzdarufe, since the pieces add up, so that portion that I ate is halfway towards what the Torah is telling me not to do. And therefore, every step of the way is problematic. Chazil Tzarufe, it adds up. And therefore, Yisur HaKachil, you're eating the Isser. Reish Lakish says, Mutter Min HaTorah. Why? Because Reish Lakish says, Achila Amar Rachman of Aleka. Because the Torah says, don't eat Nevela. Don't, right? If you shouldn't inadvertently eat Truma. You should eat matzah. Definition of eat, we saw in Chazal, it's a kazayas. Okay, so until you reach that point of eating, says Reish Lakish, you've not violated the Torah. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara goes on, there's an interesting discussion. What's the source for Rabbi Yochanan? So he just gave us an interesting svara, but how did he know? Where in the Torah did he find the source that you're not allowed to eat even a small amount of that which is asr? Happens to be a pasuk in this past week's parsha. This year we're zochet to read Parsha Shmini a lot of times. You can read it, right? This is one of the years that you read Shmini times. You read Shmini 8 times before you finally read Shmini. Because it starts and goes, it gets interrupted by Yantiv, and then it starts off again. And finally you get the Parsha, Shabbos Parsha Shmini. You've already been osik in Shmini for quite a bit of time. But in Parsha Tzav, we're not so quick to let go of Parsha Tzav. Yeah. What?
I think I'm missing Shmini.
You're missing Shmini this year. Okay. Good luck working that out. I'll ask your posik what to do about that. So says the posik in Parsha Shmini this past week's Parsha Tzav. I'm sorry, this past week's Parsha. But Yedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, source number 8. Daber al Bnei Yisrael Lemor. Kol Chelev Shor Vakesev Vaez Lo So Chelu. The Gemara says this is the source from Yochanan. Kol Chelev means any amount of forbidden fat. Kol Chelev. Right? It doesn't mean all forbidden fat from a shore. And anything less than eating every bit of forbidden fat on planet Earth, you're not in violation. Of course not. Kol Chelev means any amount of Chelev. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, you see from here that this is the source for Chatzi Shir. Now, of course, again, this is a very big discussion. There's a lot to think about. Is Chatzi Shir apply? The Achronim have a lot of different... What's the logic of Chazi Litzdarufe? There's different ways in the Achronim, Lamdish ways to look at that. Does it apply to Isurim outside of the context of Achila? What about a Chatzi Malacha on Shabbos? If you do a half Malacha Shabbos, is that also called Chatzi Shir? There's a lot of discussion in the Achronim, and it mostly revolves around Chatzi Shir when it comes to Averos. Prohibited, right? Portions of a measure of Isur. But I want to talk today about Chatzi Shir in a positive sense. We need to spread light. We need to talk about positive things. So let's talk about positive Chatzi Shir. Right? A half a mitzvah. A half of a halachic mitzvah. Is that something that we're interested in? So we're going to cut through a lot of the lumdis right now, just to get to the halacha. How do we paskin on Chatzi Shir? Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, how do we paskin?
I feel like every mitzvah is different.
Alright, so let's get there. Let's get there. We'll see examples and then
are you including, besides eating and drinking, for example, kiddush or whatever, are you including other mitzvos aseh?
Right, so that's the discussion that Achronim have when it comes to Chatzi Shir of Averos. Is Chatzi Shir a sugya in eating? Or is Chatzi Shir a sugya in Kol HaTorah Kula? If I do half an Avera, and I have to be Magdir, what is different? So by Shabbos, for example, I told you the Achronim discuss a Chatzi Malacha. If you do a Chatzi Malacha, is that considered something bad? But we have to first know how we paskin on this issue. Do we paskin Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah? So yes, we do paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Again, going back to the Gemara in Source 7, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asur Min HaTorah. If you look at the Rambam, in Source number 9, Hilchos Shvisas Asur, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, the Rambam notes, Achol oshasa pachas mishir zeh, you know, chayev kares. Rambam is talking in the context of Yom Kippur. If you eat or drink less than the shir, you don't get the penalty of kares. Afal pi shu aser min haTorah b'chatzi shir. Even though with the raisa, you're not allowed to do that. However, ein chayavin kares ela al kashir. So again, there's certain penalties that only kick in when you get to the shir. But the Rambam is clear that he's paskening like Rabbi Yochanan that what chatzi shir is aser min haTorah, that half a measure of iser is considered a significant thing in the eyes of the Torah. Yes. What do you mean?
Like, on Shabbos you see a lot, like, oh, are you allowed to do this? Pater Avalasir.
Yeah, it's not exactly the same, but it's the same. It's I hear what you're saying. Like, I hear the comparison. Correct. Correct. Okay? So now let's transition. Now that we've very, very briefly touched on the concept of Chatzi Shir by Yisur, we saw the main Gemara, we saw the Pesach of the Rambam. We know the source from the Gemara, sorry, from the Pasuk rather, in Parsha Tzav, Kol Chelev. If someone stops you on the street today after Shir and they say to you, tell me, what is the source in the Torah for Chatzi Shir? You'll say, didn't you read this passage of Parsha? Because Kol Chelev. If you eat any amount of Chelev. Okay, this is interesting. There's a tshuva, a famous tshuva on this sugya from the Chacham Svi in Simen Pei Vav, where he says, the fact that you're eating it, right, you've given chashivas to a Chatzi Shir. So he says, forget the pasuk, the very fact that you're eating it, maybe achshavet, your intentions of treating it as a davar chashiv, that you care to eat it, itself makes that. But I don't want to focus on chatzi shir by los haseh. I want to transition right away into chatzi shir by mitzvos. Yes.
Can I just ask, what's the punishment for eating chalev?
What's the punishment for eating chalev? Karis. Karis? I think so too.
It's pretty good.
Okay. Chalev, forbidden fats. Don't try this at home. Okay, good. So let's see. Chatzi shir by mitzvah to say. So it's Pesach. Let's talk Pesach. You have a half a kazayas of matzah. The question is it worth eating it? Is there some spiritual gain to eating half a kazayas of matzah or no? But erev tohu matzos. How could this come up? Just to give us a couple test cases to think about as we go. So it could be one of two scenarios. I guess we'll pick the two most obvious scenarios. Number one, you only have half a kazayas of matzah, right? You only have half a kazayas of matzah. Unfortunately, that's all you were able to get your hands on for Pesach. It was a difficult circumstance. That's all you could get. So should I eat it at the Seder night? Do I gain anything by eating it at the Seder night? Or is it? And we're thinking in a very strictly halachic sense, right? Because that's how we have to begin. In a strictly halachic sense, is there any halachic benefit to eating half a kazayas of matzah, if that's all I have? What could be another scenario? It could be you have plenty of matzah. You have plenty of matzah, way more than half a kazayas of matzah. You have boxes and boxes of matzah. But your doctor says to you that if you eat a kazayas of matzah, or let's say in the context of Pesach, you drink a proper amount of wine for the dalakosos, you're going to make yourself very, very sick. Okay, v'chaybem. So I don't have to. But then your doctor tells you, but you know what? If you want to have like a little bit of wine, you want to have a little bit of that wafer, that's okay. So now you come to the Rav and you say, Yomdeinu Rabbeinu, is there anything for me to gain to drinking less than the required shiurim when it comes to the dalakosos? Is there anything to gain by eating less than the assigned amount for matzah or mar? Or again, I'm thinking like a strictly halachic person, is it pointless? Because the Torah says eat, and that's not eating. Yes. Oh, okay, so we'll get to that very gishmak case. I brought along from my house really one of my favorite svarim. I don't get to use it as much as I would like to. Shailos and Tshuvos Avnei Chefetz by the Reish Rav of Aaron Levine. All of his tshuvos are so interesting, and he talks about that question. If you're sitting with a friend and you have one kazayas of matzah, right? So you're immediately thinking, wait, hold on, isn't this the Rabbi Akiva ben Petur case with one cup of water? Right? I drink the chayef and kodman, or maybe not. Maybe it's better we should each get half a mitzvah matzah, if eating half a kazayas of matzah is a mitzvah. Maybe we should take that route. And I should forfeit my mitzvah b'shleimus and split it with a friend. That's a very, I'm glad you raised that case, because we will come back and touch on that case a little bit. Okay, so in the Shailos and Tshuvos literature, there's a lot written about this question. The Achronim are very interested in this question, and rightfully so. Is it kedai to do half a mitzvah? Is there anything to gain from it? Okay, so I'll show you a variety of proofs. Some very, very interesting proofs. Let's take a look. And proof number one, source number 10. Here's an interesting case. And again, we'll pick up some general yedios in halacha and in chas, just by way of exploring this sugya. Here's an interesting halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos, Pesach. If a person says, Shavua shalo ochal matzah stam, Person takes a shvua, stam, doesn't specify, and you'll see what I mean by specify, but he takes a shvua, I'm not going to eat matzah. He didn't just say this in the context of Pesach, maybe he said this all year round. I don't do matzah. Takes a shvua, I am not going to eat matzah. Stam, he didn't say I'm not going to eat matzah at the Seder. I'm not going to eat matzah. For a year, I'm not going to eat matzah. Okay, well now Pesach rolls around. Is he allowed to eat matzah at the Seder? So your gut reaction is, of course. You can't take a shvua against the mitzvah. Says the halacha, osur lechol matzah b'leil Pesach. We're going to learn an interesting halacha in Yoredeya now. This is really a Yoredeya parallel sugya. Right, in the laws of the Dharma Shavuos. Okay, but what if he says, shvua shelo ocha matzah b'leil Pesach? What if he takes specifically a shvua, I'm not going to be Mekayim b'erev toch l'matzos? So then we say to him, you're a fool. You can't take a shvua against mitzvos. Loka, we give him lashes, v'ocha matzah b'leil Pesach. Okay, good. Everyone's clear on the halacha? Explains the Mishnah Berurah. How does this work? If he takes a shua shalom ochel matzah stam, says Mishnah Berurah, source 11, beinim amar zekod ma pesach bein amar b'leil pesach gufa. Even if it's the night of Pesach, and he says, I'm taking a shua for the next year, I'm not eating matzah. Now, there's a bit of a context here. It's the night of Pesach. It's be'er of tochel matzos, and yet, since the shua is said in the general sense, since he did not specifically take a shvua against eating matzah for a mitzvah, his shvua takes effect. The shvua where it's bolded, the shvua chal bekolal dvarim mutarim im dvarim asurim b'shev al tase. Interesting. If you take a broad shvua, which has permitted aspects, if it includes a prohibited aspect, namely swearing off matzah, but if you're able to do it in a passive way, again, namely refraining from eating matzah, since you took the shua in a very broad language, so in fact it would work and you would not be allowed to eat matzah at the Leil Seder. That's the case of the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Mikol Makom, Kotzva Poskim, the mitzvah Lahatir Shuaso, Kadesh Yuchal Lakaim, Sedechilas Matzah. Certainly he should try to find a way to get out of his shua, right? To be released from his shua so he can do the mitzvah. But technically, if there was such a shua upon him, he would not be allowed to eat the matzah. Continues Mishnah Berurah, Balel Pesach. What if he says specifically, I'm not eating matzah on the night of Pesach? Kev and Damar Lel Pesach, since he specified, I'm swearing off a mitzvah, Mistamakom and also a matzah's mitzvah belachud, and therefore we give him lashes, Mishum Shua Shav, De'ein Shua Chal al Davar Mitzvah. Because you can't take a Shua, Shua's not Chala on a Davar Mitzvah. Okay? Okay, so we picked up an interesting idea when it comes to how Shavuos work. But now the question is this a proof in any way for and or against Chati Shir by Mitzvah Sasek? So if you remember yesterday, we have a lot of Akar Satov, yeah?
In a very strict sense, a person can eat matzah on Leil Pesach.
Yeah.
That would be in the mitzvah. If a person swears off matzah on Leil Seder.
Yeah.
And they say that I'm swearing off matzah's mitzvah on Leil
Seder. Yeah.
That would be on the mitzvah.
No, but he swore off, meaning his statement's even more broad. He can't eat matzah. You're saying what? He can get around it because since the Mishnah Berurah is saying since he said matzah, it's obvious that he's referring to matzah's mitzvah. So he can eat matzah and have kavanah not for the mitzvah. And how does that help him? Even if that was true, how does that help him? You're saying have negative kavanah for the achilas matzah. But again, his language, I don't think that we're saying it's limited to that. I think he's not allowed to eat matzah. Happens to be the context of when he said it, Leil Pesach, you know, first and foremost, he's swearing off matzah's mitzvah. So we're going to give him lashes and we'll let him eat the matzah. Okay, but we have a lot of Akar Satov from the last couple of days and maybe weeks to Rav Yaakov Reischer. Who's Rav Yaakov Reischer? Rav Yaakov Reischer is the Chok Yaakov, who we quoted yesterday, the one who explained the Rambam, that Chodfin, Zemiyad Zem means what? That the Rambam is the source for stealing the Apikomen. Rav Chaim Brisker went the Rambam differently. But the Chog Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Reischer, the author of the Shailos and Tshuvos Shvus Yaakov, and the Iyun Yaakov, and the Torah Sashlamim, so many beautiful Svarim he wrote. We have a lot of Akar Satov to him because he was the one who helped us save the mitzvah of stealing Apikomen yesterday. So he's back again today. Rav Yaakov Reischer is back. Happy to see him? I'm happy to see him. Shailos and Tshuvos Shvus Yaakov. Shas Chuvos Rosh Yaakov is a very important sefer of Shas and Chuvos. Makes it into a lot of practical halachic poskim. Bring from the Shas Yaakov. He's quoted very often by later Achron. Okay, Rabbi Yaakov Reischer, lived in the 1600s, early part of the 1700s. So he sees in this halacha that we just read in Shulchan Aruch, he sees perhaps an answer to our question of, is it kedai to eat half a gezayis of matzah? V'od hiksha l'shol. He says, I received your, right, shas and chubos, I received a question that you raised. Im ein lo rak pachot mi gezayis matzah, im echuyav lechol oso bepesach, o neima kevendu pachos mi kashir lav matzah hu klal. Maybe that's not called matzah. To eat half a kazai samatza. So you want to know what my opinion is. V'nir ali, she'ein kan chiv klal. Said to Yaakov Reischer, there's nothing to be gained by eating half a kazai samatza. Da achila be kazai is mashma. Because achila be erev tochlu matzos, achila by definition, we saw it in several places, we saw it in Torah's Kohanim, we saw it in the Mechilta of Rashbi. Achila by definition means a kazayas. That's how we always function. Achila means kazayas. So what's the point of half a kazayas? V'raya b'madi yisa b'simin tof pehei. Hanishba sholo lecho matzah kol hashana asur lecho matzah v'pesach. Ulefi imadakayim l'alinyin shvua sholo ocha b'kazayas mashma. When a person takes a shvua not to eat, what does eating mean in that context? What does eating mean? A kazayas. A shvua not to eat is understood also as a reference to a kazayas. And therefore what? Kasha. Imkein yochel pachos mi kazayas. So think about it. This guy swore he's not going to eat matzah. Yeah? That means he swore off eating a kazayas of matzah. So if there's something to gain by eating half a kazayas of matzah, so why didn't the Shulchan Aruch mention that? It won't be a full out violation of his shua. Now you'll say, wait a minute, maybe it is. Because chatzi shiur asur in the Torah. So how can he... Okay, so you have to figure it out. You have to figure it out. You have to really, if you look at the shach, if you look at the shach, again, you don't have this in front of you, but if you do, look at the shach in your Adaya, in Reish Lam and Ches, right? It's not so simple what Rabbi Yaakov Reischer is saying here. But again, his basic svar is, you swore off eating a kazayas matzah. So, if there's something to gain by eating a portion of a kazayas matzah, why don't you do that? It must be. The fact that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention that Eitzah, Ella, Vadei Pashut Kevin She'ena Ochel Kashir, Lav Matzahu Klal. That's nearly a Katan Yaakov. Okay, so apparently for eating less than a shir.
That's under the assumption that
if you're eating less than a shir, there's nothing to gain from it.
That's under the assumption that the Shulchan Aruch was saying if someone's swore off matzah.
That was the last one of the Shulchan Aruch. Shvua Shalo Ochel Matzah.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but maybe Ochel wasn't using the term.
Okay, all right, so that again, we have to know a lot more about Shavuos. Do we go by halachic definitions? Do we go by the way that people speak? Right? Do people, when they say eat, does that mean any amount? Okay? I'm just raising this Shavuos Yaakov, again, as a possible source, something to be aware of, a possible proof, that again, perhaps the fact that we don't encourage this person to eat less than a kazayas. Apparently, eating less than that is not even considered eating matzah at all, and there's nothing to gain. So again, that's whether we get fully Islamdis or even agree with Islamdis, right? At the very least, we see his psak, which is she'ein kan chiyuv klal. There's nothing to be gained by eating less than a kazayas because achila b'kazayas mashma. Okay, a second proof. Now, I have to admit, I was late this year today. I apologize, because I was running around the basement just trying to gain clarity in Source 13. So you say, why would you put a Mayim Makom on the source sheet if you don't even know how to read it? Then you just look like a big Am Aretz. So the truth is, I am a big Am Aretz, and I'm not ashamed to, I mean, I'm ashamed to be that, I'm not ashamed to admit that. That's the mitzias of who I am. There's a lot more to learn, and I hope one day I'll be zochet to go Shana Bet. I'm still waiting. Mirtz Hashem. Still holding by Shana Aleph. Okay, but you have to at least know, if you have a good Mayim Makom, even if you don't know exactly how to read it, it's kedai to pass it on, and maybe someone else will understand how to read it, or at the very least, will know that such a tshuva exists. In the Shilas and Tshuvas of the Ma'aril Diskin, the great Ma'aril Diskin, Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin has a tshuva on this topic in Siman Dalet. And I asked some very budding Talmidei Chachamim, people who actually really know some stuff in the Beis Medrash, if they could help me with this tshuva, and they couldn't quite crack it either. We can get something out of it. It's kedai to read it, even if we don't fully understand it. Okay, that's our question. This discussion amongst the Achronim. Is there a gain to be had when a person eats a chatzi shir by mitzvah saseh? Nira lehevi raya, mehal dekavu shir achinuch lachilatz matzah betinuk, sheyochol lechol kezayis dafka. He says, perhaps we can bring a raya from the realm of chinuch. Chinuch katan. When it comes to educating a child in a mitzvah, right? So how much does a child have to do in order to be eligible to do a mitzvah? Let's take lulav, for example. What is the mitzvah of lulav? What's the mitzvah of lulav? Netilas lulav. What's the mitzvah? Don't be shy, Chaver. What's the mitzvah of netilas lulav?
Take the lulav.
Take the lulav. What does that mean, take the lulav? Gemara says, mid'agbe, nafikbe. Mid'agbe, when you lift it up, nafikbe, yaitse. That's all you have to do. You pick it up. Okay, so we want to enhance the lulav ceremony. And we also want to bring a lot of divine shefa to this world. So we do something called na'anu'im. If you look in the Gemara, that same Gemara that says that the mitzvah of lulav is defined by nothing more than mida'agbe nafikbe, as soon as you pick it up, you're yotzei. Yet the Gemara says, at what point do you train a child in the tilas lulav? Well, how much does he have to be prepared to do the mitzvah? Mm-hmm. We say what? Katan, who's yodea, l'naneya. He knows how to shake lulav. He knows how to shake lulav. But that's beyond the simple mitzvah itself. Okay? Let's put that on the back burner for a second, and let's come back to the Maharal Diska now. So he says, the shir for chinuch, when you're training a kid to eat matzah, is a kezayis. Why? Because that is the mitzvah matzah, eating a kezayis. So then he says, in the third line, and this I'm not sure about, ayin rambam hilchos chametz u'matzah, Kevan the gadol she'ina yachol lechol kezayis chayav lechol chatz yishir. Now, I don't know if he's saying that that's in the Rambam, because if that's in the Rambam, what are all these achronim so busy with? The Rambam says it explicitly. I don't think that's in the Rambam. Pretty sure that's not in the Rambam explicitly. But he says here that a gadol who can't, let's say, eat a full shear of matzah, should eat a chatz yishir. Yeah, let's keep going. Ba'al kaman de'bepera kamad de'chagiga nishtamshu be'ishil besvarzu lahakel lepatro mi'ri'ya. When is a person chayiv in aliyah l'regel? What do you have to be able to do? You have to be able to go. You have to be able to walk. Okay, what if a kid can't walk on his own? What if a kid can't go on his own? So at what point is a kid chayiv, right? If he can only get there by riding on his father's shoulders. If he's old enough, a bit... My son, Yaakov Yedidya, I cannot put on my shoulders and ride him to Harbias on my shoulders, so fall off. Right? But let's say you have a kid who's old enough, he can't walk on his own, but you could get him there, you can give him a shoulder ride. Yeah? So is he chayiv? Is he pater? At what age? So we say that once he's able to walk, once he's able to go, that's when he's chayiv in re'iyah, in going up aliyah l'regel, maybe bringing the carbon re'iyah that accompanies one's... experience in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay? The Kisha'ini Yachal Lalos Ba'atzmo Pater. If he can't go on his own, he's Pater. Now why? Why should this kid be Pater? Says the Gemara, Kevin the Gadol Ki Hai Gavna Pater, after, right? Kevin the Gadol Ki Hai Gavna Pater. Meaning, an adult who can't walk on his own is Pater from going up. So too this kid who can't walk on his own is Pater from going up. Now what's different about that Gadol who can't walk on his own versus this kid who can't walk on his own? The difference is that this gadol can't walk on his own. Let's say that the person is crippled and he's never going to walk on his own. This kid can't walk on his own only because he's a kid. He's a healthy kid. In a year from now, he'll be able to walk on his own. Right? Meaning, so it's not inherent to him that he can't go. So maybe let him go the way that a kid can go. And then when he becomes a gadol, he'll be healthy, Mirtz Hashem, and he'll go the way a gadol goes. But no, we don't train the kid to do something, right? If the way he's going to do it now is different than the way he's going to do it when he's an adult. After tinok de gufav, kishe yigdal yachol alos. Even though this kid, when he gets older, he will be able to walk on his own. But you're not going to train him in a fake version of the mitzvah right now. But with matzah, assumes the Maharal Diskin, and again, I'm missing some of the pieces, I'm not exactly sure how he's proving this, what he saw in the Rambam, but he says, with matzah, kol shekein kan l'chiyuv, delo niftrei hashtem michatzi shir. Even though this shir is what? Is a kezayis for matzah, but a gadol who can't eat a kezayis matzah, she have a kezayis, I'm just not sure exactly where Maharal Diskin got that. So too this katan, even though the shir is a kezayis, but let's train him also that he should have a kezayis. So somehow the Maharal Diskin is seeing from the way that we're mechanech a child in achilas matzah a proof that chatzi shir is significant. And then he concludes, the last line is clear, it's easy to understand. What if a kid can only eat half a kezias? He can only eat half a kezias because he's a kid. He does not eat the full amount. So maybe it's better not to train him in this way. Why? Because maybe it'll lead to a kilkel. Because maybe you're training a kid to think, how much matzah do you need to eat on Pesach? A little bit. Shalo yochel gam begdulat begad luso ki emchatzi zayis. He'll think that when he's an adult, that's all he needs to eat. Lachein sheva al tasa adif. Therefore, maybe it's better not to get a kid started until he's really able. Maybe that's why Chazal Rukoveya, that you should only educate him when he's able to eat a kezayis. But again, the Maharal Diskin, whether we can follow it from beginning to end, the Maharal Diskin is again dealing with this interesting shaila: is there something to gain by half a shir in mitzvah saseh? And at first he thinks perhaps yes, and he talks about other considerations, but he's using chinuch as a springboard, as a possible proof to our question. Okay, how about a third possible proof? A third proof. Another interesting halach. Let's take a look. Shulchan Aruch. This is in Tavkuf Tzadi Gimel, Sif Aleph and Beis, by Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, in source 14. Brachos Shal Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Ma'ak Mezozo, Shem Eini Odeya Kulam, Lo Yomar Mashi Odeya Mehem, and Lo Yomar Klum. The brachos of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are ma'akev one another, and therefore we don't say, better to do something than to do nothing. Okay. V'chein Tikios Ma'ak Mezozo. The same thing is true when it comes to tekiya shofar. Does it make sense to blow the shofar if I don't know how to fully, really blow the shofar? So the tekiyos are ma'aki one another. But says the Shulchan Aruch, Hani mili she'ini odeya ela miksas hasimen. That's only if you don't know how to blow a full set. Shelo yaso so miksas she'odeya. You shouldn't do the little bit that you do know. Aval tashrat, tashat, tarat, ein ma'akin zezeh. But if you know how to blow any set, any combination. Let's say you know how to blow tekiya, shvarim, tekiya. So kavaldik. Then you should do that. If you know the lasos echamehem, or shnayim, osa. So even if you don't know how to, let's say you don't know how to do, right? You know how to do shvarim, you don't know how to do trua. Okay. So do a series of tekiya, shvarim, tekiyas. Even though you don't know how to do tekiya, shvarim, tekiya, trua, tekiya. Or even though you don't know how to do tekiya, shvarim, trua, tekiya. Do what you can as long as it's enough of an entity. Okay, fine. This is the halacha, as long as you can get a significant piece. Now, this halacha is very interesting. We have to analyze it for a moment. Yeah?
What was the stand for why you think you wouldn't be able to eat half a matzah?
No one says you can eat half a matzah. No, by a kid, we might not want to train him in eating half a kezias of matzah, because then he's going to think that that's the shir. We're training him as a kid, he's going to get confused when he's an adult. But no one's going to come out of this discussion and say, you can't eat half a kezias. It's just a question. Is it halachically significant? The same way that half a kezias in the vela is halachically significant. Okay, chaver? So let's keep going. We've got a little more work to do. So, we've all heard of Sefer Yoshua, right? We've heard of Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim. We've heard of Yoshua, Shoftim. But today, you're about to learn that that's not the only Sefer Yoshua under the sun. And I didn't know about this Sefer until this week. There's a Sefer called Sefer Yoshua. What do you mean Sefer Yoshua? You can't just name your Sefer Sefer Yoshua. Well, someone did. His name was Rav Yoshua Heschel Babad, and he wrote a volume of Shilas and Tshuvos, a Piskei Halacha, called Sefer Yoshua. Shilas and Tshuvos, Sefer Yoshua. Okay, very interesting. Very, very interesting. I want to point out, it's interesting. We have Svarim that took names that were quite surprising. For example, the Al Shechan Chumash is called Toras Moshe. You can't name your Sefer Toras Moshe. We have Toras Moshe already. That's why we call the Sefer the Al Shech. We don't call it Toras Moshe. We call it the Al Shech. And the Al Shech is the Al Shech. We call it the Al Shech HaKadosh. How about the Shnei Luchos HaBris? We have Luchos. You can't name your Sefer Shnei Luchos HaBris. Well, the Shlach HaKadosh did. That's why we don't call it Shnei Luchos HaBris. We call the Sefer Shlach HaKadosh. The Rambam named his Sefer Mishnah Torah. Devarim has the monopoly on Mishnah Torah. You can't call. So that's what we call it. The Rambam. The Halig Rambam. The Rambam HaKadosh. So it could be, I've never even heard people quote the Sefer Yoshua. I only know about it because the Stei Chemed in Source 16 makes reference to it. And the Stei Chemed, Rav Chaim Chizkiyahu Medini, passed away in the early 1900s, was a genius of an author. And he wrote an encyclopedia called Stei Chemed. He quotes all sorts of unusual svar. But it could be we should refer to the Sefer Yoshua as the Sefer Yoshua HaKadosh. The same way you call it the Shulchan HaKadosh, the Al Shulchan HaKadosh, the Rambam, the Halakha Rambam. So, okay, Sefer Yeshua Kadosh. I don't know. It's an interesting Sefer of Shas and Chuvos.
Is that what we call the Kadosh?
We add a Kadosh sometimes to these.
You have to, is it for that reason? Is
that's why I've heard, yes. I once heard from Rav Gold or something like that. Yeah.
Does the Rambam hold that you can rename Svarim you already have?
Does the Rambam hold you can rename? I don't know. Does the Rambam hold that he was writing a summary of Gemara, so he called it Mishnah Torah? Okay, but in the Shilos and Chuvos, Sefer Yehoshua. Fascinating. He looks at the Shulchan Aruch that we just read in Source 14, Tavkuf Tzadik Gimel, and look what he sees. Look what he finds there. Okay, Mashav Apakakim, Mitzas Apoiskim. In Bidavar Shirach Mitzas Asayim, Mechuyiv Akoponim Lechol Chatzi Shir, Kishayin Lo Shir Shalvin, Kamo, Matzah, Shayin Lo Elo Chatzi Zayas. So he quotes Yeridaya, that I mentioned, I referenced before, by Shavuos, the person takes a Shavua, not the E. Okay, so we saw that. Ulechor yesh lipshon mihay dekayim alad ba'or ha'chayim, tafkuf tzadi gimel, dibim brachos utikia shofar shosh Hashanah, im ein yodei rak mixas lo yasa klal. If you don't know how to do the whole thing, better not to do. So I understand, he says, by brachos, lo shayach efshar lomar mixas brachos. By brachos, I understand. By brachos, you can't make... You can't do half the brachos of ma'akim one another. You can't do one bracha to the exclusion of the other. It could be a bracha of atala, right? Or a bracha for no gain. Bracha sheino tzricha at the very least. Avavatikios, madu lo yasev lo yitka mixas shiodeya. Why shouldn't I do whatever I know? By the shofar, we saw yesterday. Was that yesterday? No, we saw 2 days ago. The Murk Tzia, who said that every blast of the shofar, just like every kazai is a matzah, is a further mitzvah, so every shofar sound is a further mitzvah. So he says, I don't understand. What's the hesitation to blow it, whatever you can? The fact that it says, don't blow the shofar unless you know at least a full measure, a set, because if you blow a set, then at least if that is the real way to blow shofar, you get. Meaning, again, we have a question: how to blow shofar? Do you blow tekiah shvarim tekiah? Do you blow tekiah trua tekiah? Do you blow tekiah shvarim trua tekiah? So, what do? To cover ourselves, we blow all the combinations. So, if you know how to blow at least one of the sets of one of the combos, you might as well go for it. Might as well go for it. Maybe that'll be the one. Maybe that's the real one that Hashem wants you to blow. So, if you know how to blow tekiah shvarim tekiah, even if you don't know how to blow tekiah trua tekiah, you might as well go for it. So he says, but why not just go for stam tekiah? That's a chatzi shir. It's a part of what Hashem wants you to do when it comes to blowing shofar. The fact that the Shulchan Aruch says not like that, it must be, seems clear, that there's no such thing as chatzi shir when it comes to a mitzvah saseh. Again, how do we know about the Sefer Yeshua? Because of the Sdei Chemed. So the Sdei Chemed quotes it in Source 16, and he rejects this svar. He quotes the Sefer Yehoshua in the first line, V'doch ha'dvar b'tuv tam. He says, the Derech HaMelech HaChadosh, again another obscure Sefer that only the Sdei Chemed knows from. He had really great Svardi Bekias, kind of like Chacham Avad Yosef in that sense. And he says, Sefer Derech HaMelech HaChadosh rejects this Svar. Why? The Hasam at the Kiyav Atshua Yachtav Ein Gufa Mitzvah, V'tikiyah below Atshua Ein Mitzvah Klal. There's a big difference between half a Gazayas HaMatzah and what? And a tekiah, if you don't know how to do a shvarim or a trua. Why? Because again, the definition of the mitzvah of blowing shofar is a set. A tekiah, shvarim, tekiah, let's say. Let's say that's the real one. So if you just know how to do tekiah, that's not blowing shofar. That would be like saying, you know, well, if I don't have a shofar, I might as well blow, right? I might as well blow a kazoo. Because that's also sort of a, no, it's nothing. Matzah, you're holding the real thing in your hand, just you don't have enough of it. Okay, so that's a different situation. You hear the difference? By tekiah shofar, again, if you don't have even a full set of sounds, so you might as well blow a saxophone. Because you don't have it. You possibly don't have it. By matzah, you have the real thing, you just don't have enough of it. So very interesting, the Derech HaMelech HaChadosh, again, quoted by the Sdei Chemed here in Source 16, says that tekiah below trua ain't a mitzvah klal. That's like blowing nothing. Ve'ena doma lachati kazayas matzah. Shebe'emes mitzvahs matzah hi. It is, you know it's the real thing. Ela she'ein bashir. You just don't have enough of it. Okay? So it's an important chiluk that the Sdei Chemed raises for us. Yes?
Couple of possible.
Go for it. Pull whatever you want.
just something that, like, for example, sukkah, which is the elements of sukkahs.
Okay.
If you have two walls, that's not anything.
Okay.
If you have it, but you just don't have enough. But it's not.
No, you don't have it. That's not a sukkah.
You don't have anything.
You don't have a sukkah. You do have matzah. But this is matzah.
But according to what we read before, it's not.
By matzah, the Torah says, the Torah wants you to eat a certain measure of it. But there's no question, this is the halakhic matzah. Two walls is not the halakhic sukkah.
But if it's not, that's food, it's not a share of food, so that's not food.
You don't need food, you need to eat matzah, berak tochu matzos.
It is enough that you can say bracha, and it's not enough that you need
to. Okay, so it is matzah. It's just maybe it's not considered an achila.
What?
Right? But that's different than a sukkah with two walls. That's not a sukkah.
I was going to say, maybe it's different than the sukkah with two walls, more so you can compare it to the nevela with, by even though it's a low size, but the nevela, even a little bit, you're also in a Torah, so compare eating to eating.
Right.
Eating a little bit maybe could be compared to eating a little
bit. Right, because it is. It is the halakhic definition of matzah.
Well, two walls...
And you don't have enough to get to the shiur achila.
Well, two walls and a tabach is considered a sukkah.
That's a sukkah.
Yeah, but that's...
That's not any less of a sukkah than a four-wall sukkah.
But it's not a full sukkah.
Yes, it is.
So then why?
What? A three-wall?
No, two walls and a tabach.
Three walls, then.
Three walls. Well, it's a sukkah.
Is why is it should be any different than half a matzah, then? You to have matzah is the same thing as a four matzah.
No.
It's different. In sukkah, it's black and white. By matzah, it's kind of gray area in the middle. That's
no, it's not. Matzah, it's matzah. This is matzah. This is 100% matzah.
Yeah, but it's...
Blowing a tequila is nothing. Blow a saxophone. Play a trumpet. That's not... No one ever asked you just to blow a tequila. That's, no way is that what Hashem wants. Yes. What you're holding in your hand, half a gazayas of matzah, is exactly what Hashem wants. You just don't have enough of it. A sukkah with two walls is not what Hashem wants. A sukkah with three walls is what Hashem wants. It's not half a shear. That's a sukkah.
Does Hashem want a sukkah with three walls more than he wants a sukkah with two walls in the devah?
That's an interesting question.
I don't think so.
The pashas is no. The pashas is not.
It's not.
The pashas is, as long as you have a halachically kosher sukkah, is a sukkah that has more walls a better sukkah? I don't know enough to answer the question, but I in my simplistic understanding, I see no reason why a sukkah with more walls is better.
It's not shalom shukkah, but it's the same thing. If it's the halacha says it, she can't
sukkah. Right, that's it.
Stay safe, go.
Sphinx thing. It all comes back. Clever, it all comes back to Sphinx thing. It always comes back to Sphinx thing.
Wait, can I just say a quick question?
Yeah.
It's relevant. It's very relevant. So we're in a business and Jewish law class.
Okay.
And whatever. It's kind of hard to pay attention. No
okay.
One's paying attention, whatever. So I hear the Rav, he mentions, Shem and Shkub. So just to make it seem like I was paying attention, I was like,
Shem and Shkub, Sphinx thing.
Yes, he's like, yeah. Okay, great.
I'm like dropping, names. To pretend we know things.
Yeah.
That's good. You made him happy. And
you say you want us to know things, so I'm down.
That's good. You know that if you need to look into Sveik Seika, I take out a Shar Yosha from Shem Shkup, and you will find all your answers. That's beautiful. That makes me happy. That makes me very happy. Tali Traf, okay, don't get so fancy on us here. Okay, there's a Gemara in Maseches Yoma on Lamed Tesem and Aleph. There is a Gemara in Maseches Yoma Lamed Tesem and Aleph that describes the period where Shimon HaTzadik served as the Kohen Gadol and all the wonderful things that happened. If you remember, when we learned Yoma last year, those of us who were here together last year, which I guess is just me and Schultz, when they, in the parak Tarf Bakalpi, they stick their hands into the lottery box and they pull out one in the right hand, one in the left hand, one says La Hashem, one says La Azazel. It's good if what? The one that says La Hashem comes out in the right hand. That's a good sign. It's a good sign. In the times of Shimon HaTzadik, it always came out in the right hand. The goral always came out in a positive way. And not only that, the strand, that red strand that you were waiting for in Yom Kippur to become white, always turned white. And not only that, the menorah in the base of Mikdash, the Ner Maravi, stayed lit. It never went out on its own. And not only that, the Eish on the Ma'aracha of the Mizbeach also was able to maintain a certain strength that was not seen after his time period. V'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. The Gemara gives a whole list of wondrous things that we saw in the time period of Shimon HaTzadik. But if you look at the end of that Gemara, source 17, where it says, V'nishtalcha, three lines from the end. V'nishtalcha bracha ba'omer, u'v'shtei alechem v'lechem apan. The Omer, when is the carbon Omer brought? Sfirasa Omer? The 16th of Nisan. When is the Shtei Alechem brought? Shavuos. When is the Lechem upon him? Every week. Lechem upon him? Every week on the Shulchan. got tricked on that. Lecha Aponim is every week. There was tremendous bracha by the Omer, by the Shtei Lechem, by the Lecha Aponim. The Kol Kohen Shemegiyo Kezayis. It was such a miracle that if you just had a Kezayis, and you handed a Kohen, a Kezayis, a small little piece of the Lecha Aponim, he would eat it, Visaveya, he was satisfied. Unbelievable. He didn't have to eat a whole meal, he ate a little bit, and the food was blessed. The Yesh Ochel, sometimes you would eat a little bit, Umosia, and it was left over. And you already felt, wow, satisfied. But Mikan Ve'ilach Efreshim and Tzadik, where it's bolded, Nishtalcha Me'eira Ba'omer V'shtei Alechem, V'lechem upon him, V'chol Kohen Megiyo Kepol. It got such a sad situation that a Kohen, there wasn't enough to go around, and if a Kohen got the size of a pole, the size of what? It's less than a Kezayis, the size of, let's say, a lentil. So atznu in moshchen es yedayin, va'gar geranin notlin va'ochen. Those who were tznuin, means those who were anshe maisa, chasidim va'anshe maisa, refrained from eating that small bit. But those who were ravenous, those who were very hungry, they would take, and the Gemara says not only would they take that little bit that they were getting as a handout, but they would take from others. What's going on here? What's going on here? Those who were tznuin would not eat a piece of lechem upon him if it was smaller than a kezayis. Why? Says the Ritva on the spot. Says the Ritva. V'chol kohen shemegiyo kepol tznuin moshchen yedayim. Perish rizal v'chein nirim perish rashizal. Didafka kohen shemegiyo kepol. If he only got a small amount less than a kezayis, he wouldn't eat. Aval megiyo kezayis sheish ba mitzvah zachila lo ayim moshchen yedayim. What do you see from this? If they got a kezayis, they would eat. If they got less than a kezayis, they wouldn't eat. Why wouldn't they eat? Why wouldn't they eat? It's a small portion of kachin. And I would say even more than that. I'll show you another interesting halacha. Look how many interesting yedios we're getting in areas of Torah that we don't know anything about. If you look at Shulchan Aruch, you're a deus imit shinvav. Hilchos b'chor behema tahora, sif dalin, source 19. Is a kohen allowed to turn down the opportunity to eat sacred food? He's not. It's considered a bizayon to kachin. So, for example, if a kohen's misari milakablo, it says in source 19, yeah, because he feels I don't want to get involved with this, let's say bechor, right, of a kosher animal, ain't a rashai, he's not allowed to turn down the opportunity. You're not allowed to reject matos kuhuna. So wait a minute. So they're giving in Maseches Yoma, they're giving this kohen a small portion of something holy, and we're saying that tznuin would refrain from eating it. Isn't that considered rejecting kachim? Isn't that prohibited? Isn't that mavazah kachim? The Minchas Chinuch discusses this in Kuf Lamed Daled, and he says, I'll tell you what the pshat is. It's exactly like the Ritva said, but you have to read it more carefully. That which the tznuim, the anshei maisa, the holy Jews, would hold their hands back from eating. Why would they not eat that little bit of kachim? And why do they have a head there to choose not to eat it? The pachos mikazayis eno mitzvah. Imkein loyer nodlim klal. What's the point of taking such a small amount if it's not even a mitzvah? Aval im hayim migia kazayis. If they would get a full kazayis, then what? Vaday lohayim moshin yedeim l'kayim mitzvah. Of course they would eat it. But it was dafka because they were getting such small handouts that they refrained from eating it, because there was nothing to gain by eating it. What do you see from this, says Minchas Chinuch? So if he's there, Mucha degami mitzvah say ein mitzvah v'pachos mikashir. Right? Apparently eating a portion, this is exactly our matzah question. Do I gain something by eating a little matzah? No. Dim lo kein loy moshin yedeim af v'pachos mikashir. If there was what to gain, then they would have eaten, these holy Jews. V'alkarach da'achat yishir leka mitzvah klal. It must be that a half a shear of mitzvah is worthless. Raka mitzvah shalol lavo lidei noisar. V'zeh shal eskaim ha'idei achirim. The only thing they need to be careful is make sure someone eats it, but if they weren't going to be enough to get a full measure, so they'll let someone else eat it. That person will get a mitzvah of eating it. And these holy Jews held back from taking that small portion, because what's the point of taking such a small portion? But the Chida was not convinced. The Chida... Someone wrote to the Chida in a tshuva in Chaim Sha'al. Sha'al's the tshuvas from the Chida. Chida was one of the very, very great collectors of Torah ideas, authored many, many svarim, tens of svarim in the 1700s. And the Chida writes in his Shas Jewis Chaim Shal, he says, I'm not convinced. You know why they didn't eat? Read on that Gemara. What was happening at that time period? People were fighting. The Gemara says, those who were gargaranin, right, those who were bali taiva for achila, they would take, and they would take other people's portions. So these people said, listen, maybe there is a somewhat of a mitzvah to eat less than the kazayas. But I'm not going to be the one to fight for it. I'll let someone else eat it. It wasn't worth getting involved in the machlokas, he says. He says, maybe, kevan shaloh is a mitzvah ketikna, since maybe they weren't able to mekayem the mitzvah in its ideal sense, in its optimal sense, so therefore these snuin took one for the team. Moshen yedeyem ilika chlom b'pnei machlokas. But don't tell me that you can necessarily see from the Gemara and Yoma that it's worthless to eat half a kazayis. Lav davka that's true. Okay? The Chida was not convinced that this Gemara Yoma is a good proof. In source 22 and 23, I'll just share with you quickly, in the Binyan Olam, Shas Jewish Binyan Olam from Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, one of the Talmidei HaGra from the Beis Medrash of the Vilna Gaon, Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, a brilliant expounder of Pnimiyas HaTorah, but also wrote Shalos and Tshuvos called Binyan Olam on all Dalet Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch, I believe. So he has a very interesting discussion as well, and it's similar to what the Beis Halevi has in Source 23 in Chelek Aleph Siman Beis, and that is sometimes there's a mitzvah to eat, and sometimes there's a mitzvah that something should be eaten. Let's look at the Beis Halevi for a second in 23. Okay, we'll pass over Yitzchak Isaac Chaver for a minute. No, we shouldn't. Oh, pass over. Pass over Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. The truth is, what's the rush? Just because we've had cheer for 56 minutes so far doesn't mean we have to rush. Let's do Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. Let's go back. I'm sorry.
Passing over levels.
We're not passing over anyone. So she will be an hour and 15 minutes. Even though we try to keep shir to an hour at most. But okay, so we'll go a little extra. Anyone needs a break, you'll take a break. Shas and Jewas bin Yinol. Look what he writes. We'll read from where it's bolted. V'im nomar. He quotes this Gemara. Again, this Gemara in Yom HaLamed Tes. Per B'Kalpi. V'im nomar dechati shir yesh b'chi of mitzvah. Im kein lama mashku atznu mes yedem imenu umana'o es atzma mekayim mitzvah daraisa. That's exactly what the Minchas Chinuch was saying. If there is something to gain by eating half a kazayah, so why did these holy Jews in Maseches Yoma refrain from eating their small portion of lechem apanim, let's say, or shnei alechem? And therefore, imkei have a mashma mekan that by chatzi shir leka srach mitzvah klal. There's nothing to gain. But then he says something very interesting. He says, "Belav hachi, hold on. I have a general question. When it comes to general to dividing up, when it comes to let's say right dividing up the lechem apanim for the kohen." So if there's a lot of Kohanim, how would you divide it up? You would divide it up to such a degree that no one gets a kazayas. Maybe that was a lechad chila way to divide up. And he says, how could that be? How could it be that people are getting a portion to eat that's not even called a chila? From a halachic standpoint, not the fact that the chaver is going to be hungry, but from a halachic standpoint, he says, achein b'lav hachi kasha, heich chelko kohanim lechav apanim lekam b'chalakim, at shelo yegil lechol kohen kadei shir achila. That's not called eating. That's not eating bread. It's not eating a mincha. It's not eating karbanos in the base of mikdash if you're eating such a small amount. And if you'll say the chatzis shir gam kein yesh bo mitzvah, so maybe you'll say the fact that in general they gave out small portions is a proof in and of itself that chatzis shir is a mitzvah. That's only if you don't have a whole shir. But here, why would we lichar chila divide up the lechem upon him in such a way that people don't get a shir? If you don't have, so then I understand. But why would you divide up lichar chila in such a way? So he answers, he says, it could be that when it comes to kachim, right, when it comes certainly to certain aspects of kachim at the very least, but lechem upon him, he says, for example, the pasuk says in Lashon Rabbim, v'achlu b'makum kadosh, v'achlu, they shall eat it. So he says, you know what the mitzvah might be? He says, where it's bolded, Ratza Lomar, she has shir achila ayidei tziruf kula. Maybe it's a communal eating, and it's not that every individual has to have a kazayas. Maybe there's some notion when it comes to kachim that what? We eat it together, and as long as we, as a group, eat the shir, that's considered good. V'lo b'yinan shir achila kol chad. You don't need each individual to eat his amount. Okay, fine, we can pause there. But what an interesting idea. That maybe there's some notion of a communal eating. The Beis Halevi says something similar. It's a little bit different, but it's very similar. And that is, again, when it comes to Achilas Kachin, is it a din in the Gavra, or is it a din in the Chepsa? What does that mean? Does each person have to eat Kachin, which case you have to eat, and the definition of eating is Kazayas, or is it just a din in the Chepsa that the Kachin must be eaten? That comes up in a few different places. It comes up in Meseches Tamid when it comes to Shmiras Beis HaMikdash, guarding the Beis HaMikdash. Who's eligible to guard the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara talks about maybe children, people under the age of service of the Beis HaMikdash, guarding the Beis HaMikdash. So the Poskim discuss, the Achronim discuss, is it a din in guarding, or that the Beis HaMikdash should be guarded? Right? Meaning, do I need someone who's a Bar Chiyuva to be involved? Or is it enough that as long as there's some semblance of something, that's good enough? So that's what they discuss also when it comes to Achilas Kachin. Ibn Chaschilach talks about it, others talk about it, Ibn Ezra talks about it. When it comes to Achilas Kachin, is it that you need to have a proper Achila, a Kazayas, or just no, you just have to make sure that this food gets consumed by someone. It could be a kid who's under Bar Mitzvah. He's a Kohen, he's eligible, let him be the one to eat it. So says the Beis Halevi in Source 23, Lididi Mira Bar, Delo Bai Kazayas, Ba'achilok sheish ben mitzvahs achilas kachim le'mitzvahs achilas pesach de'ba'idach b'kazayis near a pashud. There's a very simple distinction. De'ba'pesach u'matzah. Now he puts matzah here, so let's pay attention. The pesach u'matzah v'chiyav ala adam. There's a chiyav on the person. De'hu mechuyav lechel pesach. He has to eat pesach, carbon pesach. And therefore, ma'achol pachad b'kazayis, that's not called achila, lo shmei achila, v'avikol lo'achol pesach. About mitzvah, achilas kachin, where it's bolded, halohave ha mitzvah klal ala adam miyuchad. It's not any specific person has an expectation to eat kachin. The halohave chiyuva akar kafta de gavra, raka mitzvah de basar kachin, yonechalim. The mitzvah is that the meat should be consumed, and therefore you don't need to get to a kazayas per se, as opposed to pesach and matzah, where the starting point, the expectation of a kazayas, is much more the focus. Okay? So we've seen, again, people on both sides of the fence with regard to the Shaila and a variety of proofs throughout Shas and Poskim. Let's take a look at the Shailas and Tshuvos Avnei Chefetz. I did not have the time or the energy to type it for you, so I photocopied it for you. It's on the back. It's the last page. He has Simen Ches, and he touches on it as well in Simen Yud Gimel, this question. Okay, let's just read a little bit together. Very, very fascinating. He writes in a very enjoyable style as well. He also wrote Svarim on Chumash called Hadrash Ve'iyun. Very hard Svarim to get your hands on, but very worthwhile if you can. He says, "B'davar asafek shenestapek b'shalas and tshuvas chinoch beis Yehuda chelak beis simin nun ches huva b'shari tshuva." The Shari Tshuva actually in Taf Pei Beis quotes this. What's the case? It's Yoni Fleischman's case. Shnayim shahayu b'midbar. If exactly a kazayas, Yoni owns the kazayas, and I'm traveling with him, and I say, no, it's a bear of tofu matzah, so it's time to eat the matzah. So Yoni takes out his matzah, I say, I don't have any matzah. So Yoni says, do you want to split mine? Because he's such a tzaddik, he wants to share with me. So I say to him, I don't know, is that the right thing to do? Should we divide the kazayas between us? V'chol echad yochel chatzi zayas? Or echad yochel kol kazayas v'asheni lo yochel klum? Maybe you should say, right? Rabbi Akiva, chayecha kodmin, I'm drinking the water and you can die in the desert. So this is not a case of sekanas nefashos, all the more so. You can say, listen, this is my matzah, and I'm sorry, too bad. And the question is, and it's a very deep question, there's a lot of hashkafa to think about in this question as well, and machshava, and that is, what's preferable? What does Hashem prefer? Is it better that many people do a portion of a mitzvah? What's better? In halacha, and again, from a hashkafic perspective, what's better? What's better? Yeah? Look what he says. He says, perhaps we can bring the following proof. If you have exactly 50% of the Klal Yisrael Tameh and 50% of Klal Yisrael Tahor, yeah, when it comes to Karban Pesach. So, well, you have to bring Karban Pesach in a state of Tahor. But if what? If Klal Yisrael, right? If Klal Yisrael is Tameh, if most of the people are Tameh, so then Toma, either Hotcher or Dechuya, when it's Petzibur. Now you don't quite have a Tzibur yet, you have 50%. So maybe if we send someone to Derech Rechoka, he's out of bounds for Karban Pesach. So then we'll have the numbers tipped in our favor, and then we'll be able to proceed. Because Tosva Sham, the Mishalchan Echad Min HaTahorim, behind her time, the Lo Mishalchan Echad Min HaTameim, the Madrina Shiasu Kulam Barishon V'lo Yidchu HaTameim. Meaning, what are the options here? What are the options here? So he says, it's better for everyone to do the mitzvah in a less ideal fashion, send away one of the Tahorim, and then we'll do the mitzvah, and again, in a dechuya fashion, toma dechuya or hotra mitzibur. And better we should do, listen to what he's saying, better we should do what? Karban Pesach Rishon, in a somewhat bidyevet state. Right? Ah. Alma, everyone said ah, so let's see what the ah is. Alma, dikishyesh brera lefaneinu, so apparently this is our case. O shiyasu rabba mitzvah shalo kiyos. Maybe you can have more people do the mitzvah in a less than ideal fashion, right? Oh, shiyasu ma'atim ha-mitzvah kiyah. So maybe you have less people do it in a more ideal fashion. V'achirim yidchu legamri v'lo yasu klal ha-mitzvah. What do we choose? Anu bochim shiyasu rabim ha-mitzvah shalo kiyah. Better to have more people in a less ideal fashion. V'shiyasu oso ma'atim kiyah. That to have a few do it in a preferable way, and the others not be able to do it at all. Either eat the kazayas yourself, or split it with your friend. Yeah? So, maybe you should say split it with your friend. But he writes, Amnam yesh l'chalik bein anyanim. Dibishlam asiyas pesach betumah. Asiyas pesach betumah means what? You're doing the Karban Pesach, the whole mitzvah, in a less than ideal fashion. Maybe that's different than not doing the whole mitzvah. We're talking about a mitzvah in an optimal fashion versus half a mitzvah. That's an important chiluk that would require further explanation. And the tshuva goes on. I'm being ma'orer this idea, and it's such a beautiful and interesting idea that how can I not share with you? But the tshuva goes on. Again, what his conclusions are, I leave to you to explore. But again, it's another possible source for this discussion, and it's really that third case. Not only the case where I only have half a kazayas for myself, not only the case where my doctor tells me I can't eat a full kazayas, but Yoni's case, which is again discussed by the Shari Tshuva, based on this Shalosh Tshuvos that he cited for us, that if you have one, you have a kazayas, but you have two people, should you split the kazayas? Yeah.
What about that whole thing that we had in Hamak Hachana for a mitzvah? Because you want to show Hashem you're preparing and you're ready, your phone's down.
Okay. Good, so you only prepared and I didn't prepare.
Yeah, but if you don't do partial mitzvah, you're showing Hashem, okay, whatever. Part of a mitzvah, shouldn't a mitzvah be the most important? A mitzvah should be full on.
She's saying, Yoni should say to me, listen, I prepared, I did my job, you didn't, and I'm not taking a sacrifice for you.
What was his answer?
He goes back and forth for a while. It's a long tshuva. I'll show you after tshuva. We can go through the rest of the tshuva. Okay, but again, it's a fascinating discussion that the Avnei Chayfetz, the Reisha Rav, has, and it's something to think about. And again, it's brought in the Shari Tshuva, the Shari Tshuva on Shulchan Aruch, on the page, in the Mishnah Berurah. In the name of the Shari Tshuva is Chinuch Beis Yehuda. But it's something to think about. It's definitely something to think about. Okay, where is that doctor case that I mentioned before? It's in the writings of the Ben Ish Chaim. Let's wrap up. We're at the very end of the shiur. Shailas and Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim, source 25, the Shailas and Tshuvas of the Ben Ish Chaim. Okay, these are the lengthier Tshuvas of the Ben Ish Chaim. We have a shorter volume from the Ben Ish Chaim called Torah Lishma, which he wrote anonymously. And he signed the Tshuvos Yecheskel Kachli, which is actually Gematria Yosef Chaim, so they figured out that it was actually him.
Yes, to say how.
Because that was his real name. But he signed them under a pen name. But the Shailas and Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim, which is a much lengthier, longer set of Tshuvos, and again, it shows brilliant Svardisha Bekias. Ben Ish Chai discusses the following case. Ish Echad Chola. She is Hira Rofe Shalo Yochal Matzah. Velo Yishte Yayin Shal Arba Kosos Belel Pesach. She Im Yochal Yishte Yayin Nizok. If he drinks or eats too much, he'll get sick. Vu Mukhrach Lishmoa Dibre Rofe. First thing we need to say, does this doctor know what he's talking about? So says the Ben Ishchai, this doctor does know what he's talking about. The Rofe can be trusted, but Davar Zekiu, Rofe Mufak, Ubar Samcha, is someone who's reliable, Behold the Varov, and therefore Bechai Bebksif. So you don't have to get sick over the mitzvah. So okay, his doctor says he can't eat a shear of matzah, he can't drink the shear of yayin. Okay, Achsholes the Rofe al Ma'at matzah, Vechim yayin shear muat. V'amar Rofe, Shazesh shear muat lo yaziklo. So now he came to the Ben Ishchai with the Shaila. Rebbe, Yilam Deinu Rabbeinu. Again, I'm able to drink less than the shear for the Dalet Kosas. I'm able to eat less than the shear for the matzah and the mar. Is there something to gain by doing so? Hakein Sholem, im mechuyav lechol shear hamuat hazeh. Ki afal pichin ha-makayim b'zeh mitzvah shleimah k'shir ha-shalah. B'kol makom yesh b'zeh k'sat mitzvah. O dilma me'achar she'en ochal shear shalim in b'yadu afilu miksas. U'ki'il lo achav lo shasa klom. Or maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's halachically negligible. Is that a word? It's nothing. Right? It doesn't count. So what does he write? So it's a long tshuva. I did a little cutting and pasting here. But I took out a part that I thought would be relevant to this time of year. He brings an interesting proof from Sfiras HaOmer. Let's think about Sfiras HaOmer. Big discussion. Is Sfiras HaOmer, is every night kind of its own mitzvah, or is it kind of one big mitzvah? Well, we make a bracha every night. That's interesting. So look what he says after the three dots. V'nei lech ora ha'yanirali lehevi raya sheyesh din chatzi shir gam mitzvah sasei midin sviras ha'omer. Look what he says. We're in source 25. Right in the middle of the source, the line that begins with the three dots. Shekosav ha'tor in Tav Pei Tes b'shem bahag shim shachach levarech be'echar hayom. If you forget to make a bracha on one of the nights, shalo yivarech biyamim ba'od biyamim shalachem. Right? Everyone knows this bahag. If you miscount with a bracha, if you miss one night, then you can't continue to count with the bracha. Behind time we shouldn't be inan tmimos. You need to have a sense of completion. She'ei sofer kol yamim. You can't miss a day. If you miss a day, you're in that sense you're out. To sviras kol yamim mitzvah chadni, because in that sense it's one big mitzvah. Well, if it's one big mitzvah, the most obvious question we have is why am I making a bracha each and every night? That seems unusual. So says the Ben Ishchai, that's a good question. And if we're having a serious Omer Shira, we'll come back to that question. But look how he takes this sheet of the Bahag. And the fact that we make a bracha every night. Look what he says. V'yam nomar ein b'chatzi shir mitzvah. Let's assume, like the Bahag, that again, it's one big mitzvah. And let's assume that, like those who said, chatzi shir, half a kazayas amata is worthless. It says the Ben Ishchai. So let me ask you a very simple question: If no more ain't mechati shir mitzvah kasha, eich yitaknu bracha al sfiras omer b'chol laila? How do you make a bracha every night in sfiras omer? Maybe what? Maybe v'alo yesh l'chush shema yishkach v'lo yisbor laila b'yom. Maybe you'll get out. Maybe on the 23rd night you'll get out. V'az kol birchosav sheberach yu levatala. The fact that we weren't scared to be koveya bracha. Even though you might end up getting knocked out on the 17th night, right? It's a good night to get knocked out. Why? Because 17th is Gematria Tov. It's a good night to get knocked out if you have to get knocked out.
Is that actually a thing?
No, it's not a thing. Well, right? So why don't we say, don't make a bracha, because maybe you'll mess up. It must be that you're making a bracha, because even if you make it to the 17th night, that is a good thing. That's also something. Since he at least did part of the, again, it's only one mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer according to this approach, but you did as much of it as you could. Hashem wants you to do 49 nights. Now again, you have to think, is this more like a half a piece of matzah, or is this more like a tekiyah without a truah? You have to think. But again, a fascinating Mari Makom, which the Ben Ishchai uses to be mechazik this cholah, who feels, what's the point? What's the point of me eating a little bit of matzah and drinking a little bit of wine? And Ishchai says, no, there is what to talk about. You do what you can. And as long as you do your best, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm very proud of you. Then there's a very famous ritva that really expresses this idea. You, whatever you, if as long as you have the proper kavana, you have nothing to worry about. You have to know this ritva. Rabbi Simon always quotes this ritva. You have to know this ritva. Very famous ritva in Maseches Chulin. What happens, and it's probably hasn't happened to you, but you can picture it happening to you. What happens if you wash the tilas yadayim? Yeah? Because you're about to eat a bagel. Okay? About to eat a piece of bread. And then you decide, you know what? I'm really not in the mood to eat right now. So should I eat because I washed? I mean, I washed, I made a bracha. I did the right thing. if I'm going to eat, I'm not supposed to talk between now and when I eat. But that's actually in my mind. Now, you know, I really don't have time to eat right now. So what do we say? Bracha Levatel? Says the ritual. V'anotel yadav l'achila u'berechal netilas yadayim. V'acher kach nimlach v'lo achol achshav. Ein b'kach klum. He decides what? Changes his mind. Nimlach means he changes his mind. V'lo achol. Doesn't want to eat right now. We don't say, no, push yourself to eat. Because otherwise your netilas yadayim is going to be in vain. We don't say to him, push yourself to eat, so to avoid the bracha levatala. When he washed his hands, at that time, what he was doing was a totally proper thing. What happened? And at that moment, now whatever happened, all of a sudden he got a sharp stomach pain. He said, you know, I can't eat right now. But does he have to force himself to eat to make sure that the netilah was not worthless? No, the netilah, even though it was supposed to be step one towards something bigger, but right now that's all he can do. He can't eat, his stomach hurts. So he doesn't have to force himself to eat. And he doesn't have to be concerned that's a bracha levatala. At the time he washed, he was doing what Hashem wants from him. V'chein danti lefnei moiri, he says, I presented this to my rebbeim, v'hoda lidvari. And they were moda to the words that I presented here.
And he still didn't seem to say that.
Yeah, he did. The tilas yadayim was good. What changed after changed. But at the moment, he shouldn't look back at that moment where he was able to do something and say, it's kiilu, I did nothing. So what do you see, Rabbosai? As we come to the end of this year, we've seen a range of different approaches. Right? Some who say there's nothing to it. Others who say that there is something to it. I want to just give you one more interesting Mari Makom. It's not on the page in front of you. But there was a great Rav in the 1700s known as the Maharit al-Ghazi. The Maharit al-Ghazi, Rav Yom Tov al-Ghazi, wrote a very famous work, the Maharit on Bechoros. Okay, and in Bechoros Daf Nun Aleph Amid Aleph, in Os Pei Aleph, he actually presents somewhat of a middle shita. So far we've seen those who say, yes, it's a mitzvah, you should do it. We've seen those who said, no, it's pointless, don't bother with it. The Maharit al-Ghazi, again, it's not on the page in front of you, but the Maharit al-Ghazi, it's interesting, and I guess it's somewhat of a tragic note, is that Rav Baruch Orbach, who is Rav Baruch Orbach? Rav Baruch Orbach was one of the children of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who passed away in 1999. Rav Shlomo Zalman passed away in 1995. His son was not that old. Unfortunately, he died in an automobile accident in 1999. Rav Shlomo Zalman's son. But Rav Baruch Orbach was one of the people who was very much involved in printing Kol Kisvei Maharit al-Ghazi. He was very much osek in publishing the complete works of the Maharit al-Ghazi. So it's kedai to mention him. He died in a tragic way, but we should remember him and the efforts that he made to bring the writings of Rav Yom Tov al-Ghazi to our attention. So in the Maharit al-Ghazi on Bechoros Nun Aleph, Amid Aleph, the Maharit al-Ghazi says somewhat of a middle sheet of that when you do half a mitzvah, we consider that a weak mitzvah, a mitzvah kalusha. It's a weak mitzvah. Okay, so it's a weak mitzvah. It sounds like that's the sheet that you get a mitzvah. It's not so simple though. Because let's say you have half a kezayis of matzah and you're eating it with your karban pesach. Let's assume you have a karban pesach. And now you're eating half a kezayis of matzah. So it could be that compared to the karban pesach, which is a real mitzvah, right? You'll say, but that's all I have, so it's better than nothing. Not necessarily. Even if it's worth something, you have to be careful. If it's a weaker mitzvah, if it's somewhere in the middle, again, it's not nothing, but it's not a full-fledged mitzvah, even given the circumstances. It could be that if you eat that matzah with your karban pesach, it would be like eating something else. Right? Like something that's not permitted to be eaten with karban pesach. It's like eating a devar shus with the karban pesach. So again, we have to see, this is sort of a middle shita. It's a mitzvah, but it's not, you know, you have to be careful with what that means. It's a mitzvah. It's a lesser mitzvah, and that might actually have halachic ramifications. Okay, so Lamaisa, what should we do? Rabosai, you get stuck on an island this Pesach, I don't wish it upon you, and all you have is half a kezayis samatza. What are you going to do?
I'm going to eat that.
You're going to eat it?
Yeah.
But some said it's a waste of time.
Nah.
Okay, so of course, my friends, we're going to eat it. Why are we going to eat it? Because yesh al mi lismoch, and there's a part of us that of course feels, if I can do something, how could I not? So I want to end with a very, very simple svara, which will be mechazik us in Avodas Hashem, just for 2 minutes, to take this idea to heart, beyond the strict halachic works that we've seen today, and to try to just be mechazik ourselves, in general, when it comes to doing mitzvahs, that a partial mitzvah is also something. And we come back to the tshuva from the Chida in source 27. The Chida, again in that same tshuva, Chayim Sha'ah, Chilak Aleph Simen Dalet. He says, I'll give you a simple svara. And to me, even though some would say it's not the most halachically rigorous svara, but it's a very beautiful idea. Look what he says. He says, those who hold that chatzi shir by a mitzvah is something, the same way that chatzi shir is asur min haTorah, he says, those who hold that it's something, svara limta, I think it's a strong svara. You know why? The mida tova meruba b'midas pranas. We have a klal in general. Asei dochalos asei. Or maybe an even stronger expression of that is that what? That mida tova meruba, Rashi Maseches Mako says, 500 times over, I think, is the benefit of something positive than the punishment for something negative. Mida tova is better than midas peronis, than punishment. And therefore, yayamanish bochul chati shir yisr, if Hashem is going to say, I'm very upset at you for eating a half a kazayas in the vela, for eating half a kazayas in Yom Kippur, you're not going to get kares until you eat a full kazayas. But Hashem says, Asur min haTorah, pshita shem Yochanan, Yomayin dalet min aleph, I'm very upset at you. So then, mida tova meruba, kal v'chomer, that a Kodesh Baruch will be mishalim schar when a person is an ochel chati shir of a davar mitzvah. Kishein biyadol lakayim mitzvah mishlemus. You do the best you can. And if the Kodesh Baruch is willing to punish you for a non-halachic measure of something usur, then halach is kam v'kama, a million times over. Kodesh Baruch is going to reward you for a little bit of something positive. And I think it's really captured so beautifully by the words of Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos. In Pirkei Avos, in the second parak, everyone knows the Mishnah in source 29, Lo alecha kol ha-melacha ligmur. It's not upon you to finish the avoda. And at the same time, Lo ata ben chorin, you think this time of year, cheres. You're not a ben chorin to be batel from it. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Shalotala al daitacha, source number 30, Shalotala al daitacha, Eineni rachav leiv, V'locha l'gomra, U'ma yisron ba'amel. A person can be very depressed and look at himself and say, what's the point? What's the point? Pesach is dafka the time when you internalize this in a deep way. What's the point? A little crumb of chametz. What's the point? Just a little crumb. Shouldn't it be batel? A little crumb of chametz isn't batel. So again, alachas kam v'kam, a little crumb of mitzvah, a little crumb of matzah. What a chashuv thing. A person says to himself, says Rabbeinu Yonah, if I can't learn Kol HaTorah Kula, what's the point of learning anything? And if I can't do a mitzvah b'shleimus, what's the point of doing anything? Uma o'el b'yagiyasi. Why should I bother myself with this? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, says the Mishnah, say Chazal, Shalo alecha l'gomra. No one asked you to finish it. Hashem just asked you to try your best. El ha'achar shebetorah ata omel kiyamta mitzvahs barecha. Hashem wants you to learn. Hashem wants you to eat matzah. You don't have a full kazayas of matzah, so do what you can. And if a Kodesh Baruch Hu will punish you for a chati shir isser, vada, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to reward you for a chati shir mitzvah. And this is the thing that a Kodesh Baruch Hu loves about Klai so more than anything else. Our willingness to what? Our willingness to try to take every little bit of mitzvah and to elevate it that much higher. And we'll conclude with the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Chaf, the famous Gemara, Dorash Rav Avira. The Malachi Yeshar has come to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they complain to Hashem, Ribono Sha'ola. It says in your Torah that a person should not take bribery. A person should not be misled. And yet you Hashem, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. Why do you favor the Jewish people? It seems to be dishonest. Amar Lahem, V'chilo es Panav Yisrael. Hashem says, how could I not? How could I not be madly in love with the Jews? Shekasavti Lahem Torah. I wrote in my Torah, I wrote that you only have to bench and thank me when what? When you eat Kedei Sviya. But look how the Jews will take even less than what feels like a full thing, and they turn it into a davar chashuv. And that's the chashivus of Klal Yisrael. To take a small thing, even a portion of a mitzvah, and to elevate it. So again, halacha l'maisa, I think you gotta go with the chida on this one. It's a beautiful svara. If mida tova is merum midas peranus, then if we know, we paskin, like shitas Rabbi Yochanan, chati shir is asur min haTorah, then vada, again, we've seen a lot of different beautiful approaches today, but at the very least we should internalize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do every little bit that we can. Lo alecha b'lacha ligmor, v'lo ata ben chorin libatal yimena, and if it's Hashem, we should choose to do whatever we can in Torah and mitzvos, and then we'll truly be a ben chorin. Like it says, Choras ha'aluchos, altikri choras ha'lacheus, that a true ben chorin is a person who does whatever he can to be osik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah.